There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. The Mallory Piping text line is popping already at 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on the text line. Also, same digits for a phone call. And those talkback messages, you can send those using the FM Talk 106.5 app. We'll talk about that in some detail a little bit later. Also, just shamelessly, because I guess I got a little reminder email that the nappies are going on, and it's your time to get us across the finish line. So votenappies.com. And we're in so many categories in radio. You know, the one I can ask you, vote for FM Talk 106.5. That's in the other categories. There's lots of us that are battling it out against each other. So just pick your favorite host, your favorite show, and let her rip over at votenappies.com. All right. Without further ado, we'll get the show started with my friend, Cameron Smith. And he is standing by from a I got to ask this question as we get started because this is how we do shows, y'all. Are you finished with the graduation? You had an eighth grade graduation event?
We are. We'd made it through the listing of all the names. I was told I had to be there, and I was. And I had a good attitude, Sean. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, right. Is the missus in the room with you?
I will just blink.
Okay. Good.
I'll blink.
Good. I'll text her later. You know, the thing is, you got to sit there for all the kids. I've talked about this with Dalton because he's got two girls. You know, I have a daughter and a son. But the old dance recital thing that you didn't have to deal with, this is the way they'd structure it, man. Your child, my daughter would be like in routine number 3, routine 48, and routine 116 or something. You know, they kept you captive. I don't, good for those parents, but honest to goodness, I'm not there to see anybody else's child dance, right? The rest of it's boring time to be. And you have to sit through, you wouldn't want your child graduate, eighth grade graduation, probably very little interest in the rest of the kids.
Yeah, I as much as I loved hearing eighth graders deliver speeches, I'm like, look, guys, AI is going to eat you. You're going to have to, crawl through the rubble of society after we're done here. And you think that it's going to be roses and sunshine, but the robots are coming. And
thanks, Dad.
That's what I want to say, but I'm not allowed to say that, apparently.
Thanks, Dad. Appreciate that. All right. Let's talk about here. We'll start off with Washington. I do want to come back to the state of Alabama as two things. You know, we've now that Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth says he's not running for Senate, not running for governor. We'll get back to that. And Governor Ivey, by the way, tweeted, if you didn't see it earlier or posted on X, her list of accomplishments in this last legislative session at something. But first, Triple B, Better Business Bureau. No. Big Beautiful Bill in Washington. Let's talk about this. By the way, I did see, and I appreciate, I am a Thomas Massey fan, and I saw you put something up on Twitter, a repost there, of Thomas Massey as a Lego figure. I was very amused. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I try to serve here. It's the least I can do. Sean, it's going to shock you to learn that I don't think there are many fiscal conservatives left.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We talk about this. I don't really know why some days, but this big, beautiful bill is a turd. I don't know another way to say that politely, but Republicans love a good tax cut. You know what they don't love is a good spending cut. It's all a lie. And I'm fit to be tied about this because I get it. I'm with you. You want to reduce taxes? Let's reduce taxes. I'm fine with that part. But you know what? For every dollar you reduce in taxes, you have to reduce at least that much spending just to stay even, right? So we're still adding to the debt, but we're break even. If you want to reduce an annual deficit, you got to cut even more spending. And what we're doing is cutting taxes without doing that at all, or doing it in very nominal ways. Republicans just got squishy and squeamish. Trump could read the tea leaves, knew it wasn't popular to talk about Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Work requirements are the thing that we're kind of floating. But until you address those entitlement programs, those are the big drivers of the deficit. And nobody, and I'm talking no Republicans, no Democrats, actually want to do that. And I like the political rhetoric around no tax on tips. But man, this is picking winners and losers. There are a lot of folks that say it, like high-end restaurants in big cities, that do quite well as tipped workers. And what you're going to see is people try to game the system and say, you know what? I'd like to have very low wages, and you can just tip me for my services. And this is going to lead to manipulation in the tax code. The numbers are going to get all jacked up. We got to stop this carve out favors for people we like type stuff. And we just need to lower the tax bill and lower the spending. And that seems to be a bridge too far for Republicans right now.
Okay, because that's one of the, see, I'm even more extreme maybe, that if we're going to address this deficit and the interest on the deficit that drives me berserko, you've got to, I can't believe I say this, but for the short term, you've got to stop spending and continue having revenue come in to pay off the debt. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, this was like Bush Jr., when he would come out, I was like, how does this work? We're going to cut taxes, but we're going to spend more, you know, the Medicaid expansion and have all these programs out there. I'm like, I'm just a simpleton. I've got a communications degree, not a math degree. But this looks like it doesn't work money-wise. And I mean, we're back to this.
No, it's five-year-old math. I mean, this isn't difficult, Sean. I mean, it's just big numbers, but it's basic math. And that's where, whenever Trump declares a thing, the cohort of Republicans that fall all over themselves to praise it is massive. And then you got folks like Thomas Massey, Rand Paul, that are just telling the truth. Chip Roy saying, guys, we can just look at the math here. It's really bad. This isn't going to be good for America. And Trump comes out and says, well, he's the problem. No, he's not. It's Trump, actually. Trump's the one that is, and to his credit, he's never said he was a fiscal conservative. But we're going to blow the bottom out of the budget. And I'm old enough to remember, Sean, when we said omnibus bills that are 1,000 pages were a bad idea. This bill right now, as it's currently drafted, is 1,116 pages. That's the kind of stuff where let's at least be somewhat consistent, folks. We said this was a bad idea before. Let's not do it ourselves.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier in the week. I forget who was on. I was trying to find some line items. Obviously, over 1,000 pages is tough, but I was trying to find something I could look at to be able to really educate myself on it. But all I see is like bigger swaths, right? It's talking about tax deductions there. And then border spending. But I mean, I can't get into the, it's frustrating to me. You worked in Washington. Where can I get, I'm actually a nerd enough, I'd like to be able to look through a PDF of the line items.
Yeah, so Congressional Budget Office has this, and you can look for it. Joint Committee on Tax has something. And there's other third-party groups that do their own analysis. Here's the problem, Sean, is we utilize something that's called a budget window. And in Washington, that's a 10-year budget window. So what happens in all of these things is folks like you and me are looking for top line. We're like, okay, how much is this going to cost us? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the tax break and what's the spending break? Or like spending reduction. Like, what are we looking at here? Well, the problem is what all these bills do is the thing you want to do, you do it in the near term. So you do the immediate revenue reductions. The Republicans want to put tax breaks right up front. So they continue, for example, the Trump tax cuts. But any spending reductions that to keep moderates on board who don't want to cut federal programs in the out years, right? So say years 5 through 10. So any reductions you have in spending, they say, oh, well, see, we do cut spending. Well, you and I both know what happens. A new administration comes in, and then all that changes. So really, the only years worth looking at would probably be the next 2 to 3 years in terms of what we're actually doing here. And I'm afraid on that count, we're in big trouble. And, you know, if we do not address this, if we do not start getting our spending under control, we're just crowding out all the other priorities, and we're just going to have to raise taxes more and more just to pay for our debt. And, you know, even one other little nerdy piece is most of these models assume, you know, call it roughly 3% interest on American debt. If we're at 4%, it blows the whole model to hell. And so, you know, that's more of what we're looking at right now, because when your credit rating goes down, when you don't have a fiscally conservative game plan, people stop wanting to lend you money.
I know. I mean, the discussion of the credit rating change, already having this interest on this debt and then the chance of that interest rate going up on it, this is, I know it's not popular to sit and talk about in Washington, but this to me is what's critical.
Yeah, when your Secretary of Commerce is saying nobody cares about America's credit rating, every American should care, because we're a deficit-fueled nation. We need to borrow money. And when the borrowing costs become more expensive, we just either have to crowd out other spending, or we have to pay or we have to raise taxes. And that's a math. It's math again. And so when you have, and I'll say it like my grandmother would have said it, a dunderheaded response like nobody cares, then you've got a big problem, because we need to look at this and say, man, this is going to start eating into the bone of what we expect from the federal government. And we need to really look at, and I'm not talking like moderate cuts, I'm talking drastic mm-hmm. cuts. And the fact Republicans can't even codify what DOGE has done should send up red flags all over the place.
But Mayor, I told you though, when this started, right when DOGE started, I was so excited. And I said, but my worry is the same way as if I like some kind of TV series, right? If I'm into it, they're going to cancel it after the second season. If I like a certain kind of tennis shoes, a certain New Balance, because I'm a dad, tennis shoes, they're not going to make those. You know, I knew it. I just knew it. Lucy's going to pull the football away, because I knew that Doge would, I mean, they can't codify the cuts made. It's because they start, once they get to the bone, they're not doing it. They're stopping it. It's because there's so much pushback. I knew this would happen.
Yeah, and let's be honest, calling a piece of legislation the big, beautiful bill is dumb in the first place. But this is the moment that we're in. It is, we have an omnibus that we said we weren't going to do, that's chock full of all kinds of things that conservatives should be like, what are we doing? And yet it doesn't matter what's in it, because if the political power structure says this is a good thing, then we've got way too many leaders willing to fall all over themselves to say it is, when they don't even understand it. They don't even care to read it. They just want to say, well, Trump likes it. He wants it. He gets it. I understand how politics work, but I also understand how math works too, Sean.
Okay, let's bring it back to Alabama here before we wrap up. So it looks like Ainsworth not going to run for anything. He's not going to run for Senate, not going to run for governor. I guess the official announcement looks to be coming next week for Tuberville. Lay of the land there. So if Tuberville goes, I think he, unless there hasn't been something I've seen, he takes the oxygen out of the room for the Republican primary for governor. What about for Senate? What happens there? What players do you think are afoot?
This one seems a lot more interesting to me right now. The dark horse that I see in this race is Kent Davis. Mm-hmm. You'll remember him from...
Oh, he's been on the show many times. Admiral Kent Davis,
yeah,
yes.
I think, you know, his military service combined with his dust up with Ivy shows that he's independent, that, he's got some of the qualities of leadership that you really want to see in a United States senator. I think name ID is his challenge. He jumps in. I would be interested to see what some of the House members do that are going to say, well, you know, there's not a strong front runner in the Senate race right now. Steve Marshall obviously jumps out as somebody who I think has interest. What about a Gary Palmer? I mean, there are a lot of folks that could throw their hat in the ring. But I think if there's a dark horse that I'm watching right now, Admiral Davis is the one that I think has the goods, has the track record. And, you know, frankly, if he can get the name ID piece, I think he could start an engine moving pretty fast.
Okay. And as we wrap up here, just a lot of text coming in. But this one from unnamed texter said, aren't the tariffs supposed to cover the tax reductions in this big, beautiful bill?
Yeah, that's a neat theory. It just doesn't work that way because, you know, what we're doing with tariffs is saying, oh, well, this will generate revenue. Well, it reduces trade. And when it reduces trade, it starts stagnating the revenue that you get off of that. So the answer is no. The tariff revenue is not going to be enough to offset those things. And these promises of, well, maybe you won't have to pay income taxes. No, folks, just forget that. Get that out of your mind right now, because we are not going to have another revenue source that's high enough to do that kind of thing.
All right. People want to continue this conversation, which I imagine they do. How do they find you online?
Just get me on the X machine at the Cameron Smith. This stuff's important. I know it's not popular to talk about, but we got to.
Okay. And you, once again, you were not allowed to tell the kids that there was no future from the eighth grade on because of the robots.
I try to tell the truth, but, you know, a prophet is not welcome in his own
time.
Own people.
Yes, that's well said, brother. All right. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
There goes Cameron Smith, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:25, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by Adventure Earth Bicycles. That's my buddy Clint Jamison. He's right there at the corner of Little Flower and Airport. Probably gone by before and seen, you know a local business because he's there. The open for business sign is lit up all the time because he's in there working and selling. We talk about the e-bikes. I'm going to come back to the e-bikes. And they're super popular, and I get questions probably weekly. People text me, hey, do you still love your e-bike? And I absolutely do. But he has 400-plus of what he calls Amish bikes, non-electric bikes in stock at any time. So if you're looking for beach cruiser bike, you're looking for something for the kids to ride, for a mountain bike, a hybrid bike, a road bike. He's got the gravel bikes are real popular that he's got. They're like a hybrid road bike with a little beefier tire because, I mean, the reality is dangerous to ride on the roads, right? The main paved roads with traffic and people texting and all that. So a lot of those folks that used to ride road bikes are now riding on dirt roads and gravel roads. So still get the same performance like road bike wise, but has a little heavier tire and able to do, dirt road stuff. So those are pretty popular. On the e-bike side, I love my e-bike. And right now he's got a sale going on his most popular. Now I've got a Scout from Magnum, which I love. Mine's a full like off-road e-bike. But his super popular brand here, Fuji e-bikes, that you see so many of them around, regular $1,800 right now. They're on sale for $1,200. He also has Denago's Commute 2 e-bikes on sale for $1,700, regular $2,100. And he's got more U-Free e-bikes and Big Sur e-bikes just came into stock. And he's got those there. In addition, the accessories that go on the bikes, there's so many from panniers to gun holders, to cell phone holders, to water bottle holders, everything in between, and the great helmets that go with it. And they are a good old-fashioned bike shop. So if you buy a bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles quarterly, you bring your bike in for service. But even if you didn't, you need to get that work done on the bike. You need to bring it to a locally owned bicycle shop. And that is Adventure Earth Bicycles and my buddy Clint Jamison right there at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown. So check them out, Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. All right, let's go to the Mallory Piping text line here. Let's see. Oh, got a bunch I had missed here. Let's go to High Plains Drifter said, out with Jeff and in with Sean. Yeah, that's the trade-off there at noon. Chad said, Punchbowl News is reporting Sean Sullivan is going to run for governor. Chad, I'll give you this. Not this cycle. Put it that way. Not this cycle. unnamed texter said, Sean, I know you're going to talk about coyotes today. Love your program, love your radio station, but the people in Daphne and City Council, well, they're not very smart. They'll never get rid of the coyotes. You know, I don't care about how much money that $4,000 won't eat. It won't do anything to curb the coyotes in cities or the county. I agree with you, texter. I mean, it can do something in the short term, right? But like I've said, unless there's a big fence around Daphne, you take out these coyotes and then other coyotes go, oh, cool. This is an empty place. I'll move in here and do my stuff. But so you have to constantly do it to keep it up. I understand where they're coming from, although I read through the article. It's like people panicked. I mean, if you go look at Nextdoor, the Nextdoor app, I mean, it's like every other post on there. Oh, they're surrounding me and all that. Now, they're real tough on cats and small dogs. I will agree. But it's a major effort to keep them out of good neighborhood that's good for them. This is from B Dark said, why doesn't Steve Marshall step up and run for governor? Oh, I forgot. He's not that crooked. And said the only way to get ahead is to pay less tax. Ask Trump. Math doesn't work. And this debt and this interest on the debt is already hamstrung and may kill our republic. I know it's not popular. I better talk about social issues, but that's the one that concerns me the most. All right, coming back, Erica Thomas from 1819 News.
It's First News. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Y'all say hello or howdy, depending on how she wants to do it. My friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Hello, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Hey, just to go back to last week's conversation. So could you hear the music from the Sandy Boots Festival at your house?
No, I didn't really go outside at all. I just stayed in my house and tried my best to not have to go anywhere. So I got grocery delivery. And I enjoyed some movies. And I did listen to the new Morgan Wallen record that he just put out. Love it. I like Morgan Wallen anyway. So he could sing Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round, and I'd probably do a little jig to it. But yeah. It was a really big event. I saw some photos of the mass crowd, especially on Sunday evening when Morgan Wallen was there. And it just was like a good old time for the people that could afford to go.
Yeah, I mean, I did like, and I just did like stupid math here. Yeah, but they said there were 40,000 people that went. And I said average person spent $500. Okay. Dalton said it'd be more than that. But, I mean, we're even at that number, let's just say 40,000 people bought a ticket, right, that went. That's like $20 million. You pay Post Malone and everybody, you run the – say you spend $10 million to run the thing. Yeah, money's pretty good.
Well, and not to mention the fact that all the local restaurants and hotels, you know, they made money. And
They did too. I'm just talking about
a really big economic driver for sure.
Oh, yeah, the expanded footprint. I'm just talking about if you say, hey, I want to put on music shows for a living, if you can pull off a few of those, you make pretty good living.
Yeah, you could probably do that easy being in the radio business. You could probably get some connections going.
Gosh, I worked around those music festivals for a long time. I was in rock and roll radio for a couple decades. And if I would have known back then, yeah, I would have started doing that. But I think I'm too late to the game. All right.
You can't say
now?
You're too late. You have a farm. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and start marketing it. I was a PA for several festivals, including Alan Jackson's Aquapalooza. I got you. We'll start it next summer.
I'm not letting people littering and tramping down stuff on the farm. I'm not doing that. It's not the new Woodstock. It's not happening. Hey, speaking of like the beach and holidays and all that stuff, you did a happy headline out. Cheap gas is back. Lowest Memorial Day prices for years. This is good news for a lot of folks, not just for their car, but you know, Friday starts snapper season. There's going to be a lot of gasoline poured into some big gas tanks out there. So what's the price now? What are we looking at?
Yeah, this is a great story. This came from Gas Buddy and AAA. They both kind of weighed in on this, what's going to happen this summer. It's a 2025 summer travel summary survey. It was released, and it shows that Memorial Day gas prices are the lowest they've been since 2021. But if you take into account inflation-adjusted prices, these are the lowest prices since 2003. So we're seeing a lot of relief at the pump, which means more people are going to be on the roads. More people are going to feel more confident traveling this summer. They're expecting multiple trips and even longer trips for people to take. So we'll see how that's going to impact South Alabama, especially the Gulf Coast area. I'm sure that we're going to have some great travelers here in town, and we welcome them with open arms, of course. But our nationwide average is expected to fall to $3.02 per gallon over the summer. And keep in mind, Alabama gas prices are always several cents lower than the national average. For example, right now it's $3.08 per gallon on the national level, but here in Alabama it's $2.73 per gallon. So you're going to see even cheaper gas prices this summer. They are definitely expecting to see that drop, and they credit lower crude oil prices and a possible nuclear deal with Iran for these lower gas prices.
Okay. Listen, no matter what, people can take advantage of it for this weekend. It's a good thing.
And it's also good for people that have large yards and you got to fill up your gas tank for your lawnmower or whatever. This summer, you're going to see a little bit of relief.
You know me well, so right now out in the parking lot here at FM Talk 106.5 is my F-150 with gas cans and diesel cans in the back of it. So we're going to fill up today. So that's, there's all kind of things I got to put, you know, petro fuels in, and, you know, it's any dollar helps for sure.
Definitely. I used a pressure washer Monday, and it was a gas pressure washer. And I will say, very impressive. It had a Honda motor, so I was happy with it. But, you know, I had to fill up with gas, and those are things you have to do in the summer. So we're happy always to see lower prices in the summer.
And we'll have to talk later, because I have my pressure washer is a Honda as well. It lasts to be 20 years now. So
I'm not surprised. Honda is the jam.
Yeah, they are the jam. All right, on a serious note here, you know, this story... I've said this before, that if you look at the violent crime as a big circle or a pie chart here, the bulk of it would be bad guy versus bad guy. Okay. Let's just say where the bad guy gets the bad guy, nobody else gets hurt. Then you have domestic that is horrible, but doesn't affect people that are not in that relationship. The part of the pie that I think drives our conversation, breaks our heart, is bad guy versus bad guy ends up shooting an innocent person, or bad guy goes and shoots an innocent person. That's the thing that has people, you know, talk about public safety every day. This story of Matthew Delaney, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Your headline, Mobile man shot while sitting on the porch, talking on the phone. Family says phone may have saved his life. First of all, talk about him and why would the phone have saved his life?
Yeah, Matthew Delaney was on his front porch, according to a GoFundMe account, on Foreman Circle in Mobile. And it was on May 15th in the evening, sun just going down. And all of a sudden, gunshots ring out, and he is hit in the face. And that bullet traveled down his neck and exited out of his shoulder. Miraculously, he did not have life-threatening injuries. When we saw the call and the police blotter, it was non-life-threatening injuries. Then you find out this guy was shot in the face. How is this non-life-threatening?
Yeah,
it just didn't hit any arteries or anything. I mean, this was an absolute miracle. And the family said if he wouldn't have had that phone up to his face, it could have been a fatal blow.
So the phone actually changed the trajectory of the bullet?
Deflected, yes.
So basically, I will point out, too, that, I mean, the injuries you go through here are substantial. And it's, you know, Erica, it's something I talk about all the time with folks. It's like we talk about the homicides, but we don't talk about the people injured enough. If you've known right. people that have had a gunshot wound, be they veterans that have come home or people that have had them, you know, they're civilians, it changes lives. I mean, they're not all like a, you know, a nick like in the movies that they go stitch up while you, you know, and so you look tough. They change people's lives forever, these things. And so even with a deflection, this is an injury that is not like just a flesh wound.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I'm sure that there could possibly be a bit of PTSD from this. Will he ever sit and enjoy the beautiful weather on his front porch again? We're going to hope so. We're going to pray for that for sure. He was an absolute innocent person minding his own business in his on his own porch, and this happened. And it's similar to what happened just this week in Tallahassee. There was a nine-month-old and a two-year-old shot.
Oh, Jesus.
In Tallahassee. And so, you know,
What were they doing? What did the nine-month-old and the two-year-old, what were they doing to put themselves, you know, in danger? Just being
exactly.
babies
nothing.
And children and toddlers.
Absolutely nothing. Thankfully, those are also non-life-threatening injuries. And I will just say that God is the reason that happened. And God is probably also, you know, God said, Matthew Delaney, it's not your time. And so just thank the Lord that he saved Delaney and these two children in Tallahassee. We need to now save our communities, make our communities safer. And as you know, Mobile is no Birmingham, it's no Montgomery. There's been a lot of decrease in violent crime in Mobile over the mm-hmm. past year, 11% decrease in overall violent crime. But every shooting with an innocent victim is too much. And you've talked to Sergeant John Young with the Mobile Police Department. He's very outspoken about this. You know, he wants it to stop. This is the kind of thing that would just really burn his tail, is to hear about these two babies in Tallahassee that got hit by gunfire. I can't even imagine his response to something like that.
Yeah.
There's a cultural issue here.
Well, he's posted up. Yeah, and he and I talked about it. He's put some posts up. This is just the continuation of, and you're right. It's not Birmingham. It's not Montgomery. Police Chief Jackson talked about reductions. But it's still these stories where bad guys shoot innocent people, whether they're shooting at each other or targeting them specifically. It makes me want to throw up.
Yeah. And another issue that we see in some communities where this happens is celebratory gunfire.
Yes.
Or just random
stupid
out of a car.
It's stupid people who don't. I mean, it's like the issues we've had in the city with New Year's and shooting the guns into the air. I mean, you're like, don't y'all realize what goes up must come down? Where's that going? It's unbelievable that people that like
yeah.
you and I, if y'all don't realize, like Eric and I are as 2A friendly as it comes, right? We're pretty 2A friendly people. But there's some people that I go, why the hell does that person have a firearm?
Right. And well, for example, when I lived in Birmingham, when I heard gunshots, I got nervous. I got worried. I would always hear the sirens after. Around here, where I live in the country, when I hear gunshots, I'm like, oh, good, there's a responsible hunter out, you mm-hmm. know, target practicing, yeehaw, have fun. I wish I could do that. Or taking a deer, you know. And so there is a difference where you live. There's an important need for community intervention in some way. And I definitely don't have the answers. I'm not an expert. I just report the stories. But John Young, obviously, he has a lot of answers. I think people definitely need to listen to what he's saying. And the more people that do, the better the situation will get in Mobile.
And just uses a reminder, too, his debut show was Monday night, but every Monday night at 8 tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, my friend John Young. Check the show out. You can go listen to this week's on the podcast page or make sure to be tuned in every Monday night at 8. We'll talk about some Mobile politics as well as we're getting closer to people having to, you know, the ink being dry to be in this municipal cycle here. We've talked a lot about the mayor's side. They had their forum the other day, but you've written about some of the city council. You got two city council seats that have people saying they're competing with the incumbent here. It's 2 and 4, right?
Yeah, so that's the seats that are currently held by William Carroll and Ben Reynolds. Those are definitely being challenged this time around. District 2, William Carroll's seat will be challenged by Samantha Ingram, and she is the former Mobile County Public Schools deputy superintendent. She has a platform. She was raised here. She's from here. We all deserve better, that type of thing. She wants to the community to come together. That's what she's asking for. And then the District 4 seat that's currently held by Ben Reynolds. Former Mobile Police Detective Bill Appling is running for that seat. And he's not only does he have experience in law enforcement, but he's also a small business owner and a community volunteer. Some of the stuff he volunteers for are really cool, like the pantry, the Love All Pantry in Midtown Mobile. He's involved with that. And he also founded Alabama Hughes and co-founded Family of the Fallen. So he has experience, kind of all-around candidate, and he will be running for that District 4 seat. So it'll be interesting. It's cool to see these races kind of firing up, and we're starting to, you know, we're at the start line now, so ready to see where we go, how many more candidates we're going to have come out, and what they have to offer. And I think it's always good to for the incumbents to have challengers, because it'll be interesting to see how they are during this process at council meetings. Are they changing their tune on anything? You know, are they reaching for the stars and thinking of something they hadn't thought of before? Kind of like last year when Joe Biden was on the campaign trail and he all of a sudden decided to tap into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, you know, making gas prices go down, which is kind of full circle on what I'm talking about here. Cheap gas prices started last summer when Biden had a little, competition for the White House. So it'll be interesting to see what the people get out of this campaign. I'm really glad to see that these two candidates have put their names in the hat.
People want to read more of your work, of course, 1819news.com. And we always like to tease. I saw your video you put up on Facebook of a bunch of sharks laying on a dock here. So we got a shark story coming out from you?
Yeah, I got to pet a shark yesterday. It was really cool. And I saw about 400 sharks in Bon Secours. They're all part of a research program. And so I'm working on that story now. We'll have it ready for the weekend. You can head over to 1819news.com. and see all of our headlines, subscribe to our newsletter, and you'll get our top stories every day. And then you can become a member to gain access to some of our exclusive content.
And over on X, how do they find you?
That is at Erica T. News.
Good stuff, Erica.
I think.
It is. You got it right. I've written it down. We'll do this again next week, all right?
Thank you. God bless.
All right. There goes Erica. We're coming right back for Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:54 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Mallory Piping text line 343-0106. Grab some of those texts. Now, I want to get to this tweet or post or whatever you call it on X now that Governor Ivey put out. Or somebody Governor Ivey's office put out. We'll get to that in a second. So let's see here to the text line. And let's B-Dark says, I have never borrowed or owed a dime. I don't get it. If I don't got it, I don't need it. If our country could only be like that, B-Dark, right? Judy says, $2.49 at Costco. Wow. Okay. That's a... Is Costco's going to get inundated with people filling up vehicles and jugs? And I mean, I didn't want to go like old man on Erica there, but I do talk about this. So old folks here, meaning us in our 50s, do y'all remember as a student at University of Alabama, graduated too, not just, sometimes I was a student, I actually graduated as well. But remember for years there in the 90s, gas was like 97 cents a gallon. Remember I had to beat up old Jeep Cherokee. like to have that truck back, 5-speed, 4-wheel drive Jeep Cherokee. But you could go in and fill that sucker up. You could drop a 20 down and fill that sucker up and still have money left over. That was those were the days. I know, and then there'll be like my dad's generation. It was a nickel. Well, I don't remember that, but I do remember a little period of time there where it's sub $1 a gallon. Motorman said Cameron upstanding 99.999% of waitstaff doesn't claim cash tips as it is. Do away with the hourly tip wage, and that would make employers give a raise. Fire Dog said, chicks dig GSW, Sean. Sure. Or even better, like a grizzly bear claw bark across your bicep, right? Something like that. But you know what I'm talking about, Fire Dog. I'm not talking about the graze wound, like, yeah, hey, ladies, yeah, that's my gunshot wound, or that's my... I'm talking about, Fire Dog, I know what you did for a living. You know the people I'm talking about and what they deal with day in and day out. Brian said, where can I see the lineup for Sean Fest Music Festival? Listen, dude, Erica starts such trouble. We're not doing the Woodstock thing. there's a texter. Here's a named texter said, also 400 sharks on a dock, petting sharks, sounds like an abnormal shark behavior, and I didn't get a Jaws alert. Yeah, I know. The warning did not go off. There's two different stories here, because I saw Erica put a video up on Facebook, a bunch of dead sharks piled up. So that story comes out, I think, after 2 o'clock. You'll be able to see it. I didn't get the petting part of it. I'm with you, unnamed texter. I did not know. I'll have to text her about that. Let's see. CA, hey, Sean, who's the biggest rock or country star you have interviewed? Also, an airport along the Northern Gulf needs to grab the Trump name. Nashville seriously pondered it. Yeah, we were talking about that the other day on the naming of the airport there that has their big Allegiant Air coming into the Gulf Shores Airport. You're never going to get me to move off the Jack Edwards Airport. Like I told you, I was lucky enough to be around that man when I was a kid. So maybe some other one will. Biggest rock star ever interviewed. To think on that. I mean, so many. From what genre, right? Like up-and-coming people I interviewed from the country world or the crossover, like Steve Earle, Little Feet. I got to think about that one. Good question. We'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.